Morning. We are in the middle of a discussion of Tumas HaTum. Today's Daf Mesachim is Daf Pei Beis. We're back on Pei Aleph. And we are in the middle of the following. We know that the Karban Pesach has to be brought in the state of Tahara. Now, if the majority of the Jewish people... Thank you. If the majority of the Jewish people are Tumas, so then the Pesach of that year is allowed to be brought Tumas. But otherwise, Karban Pesach has to be brought Tahara. Now, that's not true by Karban Pesach. That's true, quite frankly, by any Karban. All Karbanos have to be brought in the state of Tahara. But we are discussing specifically the Karban Pesach. However, we have a special dispensation. And that under a certain circumstance called Tumas HaTahom, so then you can bring the Karban Pesach even in the state of Tumah. Now, Tumas HaTahom, what is that? So it's unknown, right? Literally, Tumas HaTahom means Tumah of the deep. It means that somebody was buried over there. You had no idea. Well, to be quite frank, if you had no idea, so then what's the concern or whatsoever? What are we even talking about? We're talking about a scenario where you did not know at the time that you became Tameh because the body was buried underneath and nobody had no earthly idea that the body was buried there, but at a later point in time it was discovered that you were hovering right over a body and so that you were Tameh. So despite that, you're still allowed to bring the Karban Pesach. Now, what point precisely did you learn about this Tumah? So that we're going to discuss later this morning. I'll show you a Rashi later on this morning that discusses exactly when, I mean, I'll show you the Gemara also, but I'll show you Rashi talks about exactly when you just made this discovery. But in the meantime, however, this idea of Tumas HaTahom, that you became Tummy, but you simply had no idea. Not only did you not have any idea, but as we'll learn later in the Gemara today, nobody had any idea. So then, under those circumstances, you can bring the Karban Pesach, and not only can you bring the Karban Pesach, it's good, meaning it's kosher. Now, after the Zrikas Hadam, after the sprinkling of the blood, you then discover, you learn, you became Tamei, so there's nothing to do about it now. The reality is you're Tamei. The reality is you can't eat the Karban Pesach, but as far as fulfilling the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, you get a check. And you fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Good. Adkan, the basic introduction of what we've been talking about. This is a where do we learn this from? Where does this halacha come from? Answer: does not come from a pasuk in the Torah. Although later on this morning we're going to try to find a pasuk in the Torah that speaks to this idea. But when all said and done, the Gemara concedes this is not a halacha in the Torah. This is a halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. It's a halacha outside the Torah, meaning you'll find a number of places where the Gemara mentions it specifically that there are halachas that are just simply transmitted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. This is one of them. This is one of those Gemaras that talk about this direct oral transmission of halacha. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai is as binding as anything written in the Torah? Yes, absolutely. Is it limited? So we're going to see today the answer to that is going to be yes. It's going to be limited. And something which is halacha Moshe Mitzinai is going to be a little bit more limited than that something written in the Torah. Notably, we'll see this later on this morning, but I'll just give a quick heads up. You'll see any halacha that's mentioned in the Torah, so you give momidos, meaning we have a way of darshaning those halachas, right? We'll use any one of the methodologies that, you know, that we can use. But when it comes to halacha Moshe Mitzinai, no you give momidos. Right, you can't do kavachomer, you can't do binyanav, meaning it doesn't work that way. In other words, whatever the halach is, that's the halacha, and that's it. In other words, and we don't go beyond that point in time. Although, I'll show you a little bit later on, the Gemara talks about maybe gzeirah shava. Maybe gzeirah shava by halacha Moshe Mitzinai. We'll talk about that also later on this morning. Okay? This is our topic of discussion for today. Again, it should have been yesterday's topic, but we're doing it now. We're only one day behind. And hopefully today we'll even try to catch up a little bit. Today's daf is daf pei beis. Okay, question on the table, which the Gemara asks, which we're going to try to answer, is the following. Tumas HaTahom, I now know that if a person brings a Karban Pesach, and he was Tamei, but he did not know about it, not only did he not know about it, but nobody knew about it, and then it was discovered, so he gets a check, meaning his Karban Pesach is still going to be good. What about the Kohen that does the Avoda? Does he also get this very same dispensation of Tumas HaTahom? That was the Gemara's question yesterday. And to that, the Gemara says, I think I know the answer. It's based on a Braisa. The Braisa says, Ein Tumas HaTahom Ela Lameis. Okay, if you want to see on the very bottom of Pei Amud Beis, so the Gemara quotes this Braisa. So, if I can find it. Yeah. Ditzni Rabbi Chia. It's like about 10 lines from the bottom of Pei Amud Beis. Lo Amr Tumas HaTahom Ela Lameis Bavad. Okay, so Tumas HaTahom only applies to a mate. Now, what are we excluding it from? So the Gemara says, yeah, what are we excluding it from? In other words, if we're excluding it from a Sheret, I understand. Aren't you allowed? Somebody's Tumas Sheretz. aren't you allowed to sprinkle the blood of a Karban Pesach over someone who's Tamei Sheretz? So the Gemara says, if you're allowed to do that for someone who's definitely Tamei, aren't you allowed to do that for someone who's possibly Tamei Sheretz? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says it must be that we're not speaking about the owner of the Karban Pesach, but rather we're talking about the Kohen. And it sounds like from that Braisa that the Kohen is also given the special dispensation of Tumas HaTahom. That's what the Gemara suggested from the Braisa. To which the Gemara says, nah, you're wrong. Meaning, the Braisa is talking about the owner of the Karban, and the Braisa says Tumas HaTahom is only for Tumas Meis, to exclude what? So this is where we left off yesterday, and this is where we're picking it up today. Tumas Ziva. It's coming to exclude Tumas Ziva, meaning that if somebody is possibly a Zava, so then he will not be given the special dispensation. Okay, so let's just go over quickly some background information so that we really understand and appreciate what's about to happen over here. Okay, let's first talk with a man. A man becomes a Zav by having a discharge. Okay, it's not a regular seminal discharge, that's just simply a Balkeri, but we're talking about some other type of discharge. It's a discharge from his private area. It's more like the Mishnayos describe it to be a different consistency, a different color. I guess in modern terminology we would call it something like a gonorrheal discharge, but that's guesswork on my part. We really don't know. Point is, however, is that if a man has, it's like saras, we talk about it, but we don't know exactly what it is. But if a man has a zav discharge, so if he has two discharges within one day, so now he's a major zav, he's a zav gadol. And what does he have to do? He has to count shiva nekiyim, he has to count seven clean days. We're talking about a man. As a man has to count seven clean days. Seven clean days simply means that for 7 days he does not have any discharge whatsoever, and at the conclusion of the 7 days, then he becomes tahor again. That's by a man. What if a man has three discharges in a row? So then not only does he have to count shiva nekiyim, but he also has to bring a carbon on the eighth day. Okay, so that is that's a zav by a man. And by the way, while he's a zav, he's an av tumah. He's a source of tumah. And obviously, while being a zav, so he can obviously not bring the Karban Pesach. So in other words, let's say he experiences his major zav 3 or 4 days before Pesach, before the 14th day of Nisan, so he's done. Story over. Meaning, there's nothing you can do. By the way, what happens on the seventh day of his zivus? So he tovels in the mikvah during the day, not at night. He tovels on the seventh day in the mikvah, and then that night he'll be good to go. So one could suggest, which is what we're going to talk a little bit about, is that if the seventh day of his ziva falls on the 14th day of Nisan, he'll tovel in the mikvah that day, and by tonight he'll be fine. Okay, good. That's one form of ziva. That's by a man. What about by a woman? So that's what's called a zava. A zava by a woman is a woman who bleeds. Now for a woman, so her ziva discharges blood, meaning it's not a different type of discharge. It's coming out of her, it's blood. So isn't that nida? So if you remember, go back to Masechta Nida, the answer is no, it's not a nida, it's zava. What differentiates between zava and nida? So remember, going back to the Gemara Nida, it's the time of the month. In other words, if it's the regular time where she was expected to see blood, so that's nida. If it was an unusual time, so that's not dam nida, that's dam zava. What is usual, what's unusual? So the Gemara speaks in terms of numbers of 7 and 11. Meaning the first 7 days of every month, that's usual, that's expected. The next 11 days is what's called Yemei Ziva, that's unexpected. When does she go back to the beginning of day 7? So, according to most Rishonim, she goes back to the 7 day period when she starts bleeding again. So in other words, 7 days of what could be Dam Nida, or is Dam Nida, I should say, then 11 days where she shouldn't be bleeding, if she is, that's Dam Zava, then after 11 days, the next time she bleeds after that, now we go into that cycle again of 7-11. There is a Shitas HaRambam. We've talked about the Shitas HaRambam before, where the Rambam says that the 7-11 is a continuous cycle. It's a difficult Rambam, and the Rambam was a man of medicine. He understood medicine, so makes it even more difficult to understand how the Rambam puts a woman's cycle basically an 18-day cycle. Okay, but anyway, but that's not the position of most Rishonim. Most Rishonim are 7-11, and then the next time she bleeds, she starts 7 again. What's the halachas regarding a woman who has a zava? So the halachas is like this. Here, Also, it's 1, 2, and 3. The number is 1, 2, and 3, but has to be separated by day. So in other words, if she bleeds, let's say, one of the 11 days, she's what's called a Zava Katana. She's a minor Zava. What does that mean? She has to be Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom. Meaning the next day, she has to be a clean day. She'll tovel in the mikvah during the day, not at night. And then she'll wait till nightfall, and then she's good. And then she'll be Tahora. What if she has two consecutive days of bleeding? She's still a Zava Katana. She's still a minor Zava. She'll, the next day after that, the third day, if she is clean that day, and she tovels to the mikvah that day, that night she'll be fine. What if she bleeds on three consecutive days? Now she's a Zava Gedola. Now she's a major Zava. She has to wait Shiv Nakim. She has to count seven clean days. And at the conclusion, on the seventh day, she'll tovel on the mikvah. And oh, by the way, on the eighth day, she'll have to bring karbanos.
The day also,
or all the tefillah is during the day. The tefillah at night is for Nida. Okay. But these tefillahs for a Zava and a Zava are during the day. Good. Now, Adkan, meaning that's all just by way of introduction. That was just a lot of information I realized, but all that's by way of introduction. Now what the Gemara is telling us, the Gemara is going to talk about is, what if it's Zivas HaTahom? Now, let's try to put this in context, meaning by mace we understand what that meant. And by mace that meant that nobody knew about the tumah because the body was buried underground. And there was no markers and we just simply didn't know. What does that mean, Zivas HaTahom? What does the term even mean? So we'll see, in the context of our discussion, it means the following. It means day seven. Day seven where stands on the threshold of being Tahor. Him being Tahor, she being Tahora. And now, what is it going to be based on? Whether or not they see that day or they don't see that day. Meaning, if she sees blood that day, if he has a discharge that day, so that's going to upset the entire count. If they don't have a discharge that day, so then by that night, she'll be fine, and he'll be fine. So in other words, when you get to day seven, it's called Zivas HaTahom. And the question mark, the unanswered question is whether or not they're going to discharge that day. So now let's have the following discussion. Let's say it's day seven for him, it's day seven for her, and now you offer a carbon for Pesach for them on the day seven. So that's called Zivas HaTahom because we don't know. If they have a discharge, so then they're back to zero. If they don't have a discharge, then they'll have successfully finished off their sphira, their counting, and they'd be allowed to eat Karm Pesach. By the way, for the woman, just one correction on myself. For the woman, it's not going to work with the Zava Gedola, because not only does she have to count seven clean days, but she also needs to bring a carbon on day eight. So for a woman, when would it effectuate? When would this whole discussion apply? When she's a Zava Katana, when she's a minor Zava. Where there she only needs Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Okay. Again, I know I'm throwing out a lot of information. Zava Katana, next day. In other words, the day after the discharge. Zava Gedola, day seven. Correct. In other words, that's exactly correct. Meaning they'll go in the mikvah that day, and then that night, and then if they finish off the day clean, so that night they'll be Tahora. And that's exactly the point. That's why we're having a discussion of Zivas HaTahom, because for that day it's really not known. It's a question mark. So now the Gemara starts off like this: Amar Rav Yosef, lo la'olam b'balam pesach lumute tumas HaTahom de Ziva. Okay, right. Well, we're going to call from this point forward, going forward, Ziva Satam. The Gemara says, but why don't we consider the following? We have a braisa. Rav Yosi Omer, Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Sheshach V'Zaku Aleha. Let's say I have a woman who is a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. That means that prior to the 14th day of Nisan, she had either 1 or 2 days of discharge, which means that she's only a Zava Katana, which means that if today comes and goes and she is clean, and she tovels in the mikvah today, so now she'll be good. But really, all that's going to depend on how she finishes the day. So b'sheni shalav acha kach rasa ino chelos p'turim lasas pesach sheni. And meanwhile, Rav Yossi says, you know what? If you are off of the Karm Pesach on her behalf, and even if she sees after that, she's good. So in other words, it is the day after her Ziva discharge. In other words, her status is going to be dependent on how she finishes the day. They offer the Karban Pesach on her behalf. After having offered the Karban Pesach, it's still daytime. She now has a discharge, which now, of course, is going to undo her Tahara. still the Karban Pesach is going to work. This is the opinion of Rav Yossi. What do you see from here? That Zivas HaTahom works for a Zava. It's clear. And it's because of the tzitz, meaning this halacha Moshe Misina that we've been discussing. So the Gemara's answer to that question is no, that's not correct, that's not true. What it is, according to Rav Yossi, is it's Mikana Laba. I'll put it in other terms, or right, the term that Rashi uses is that Mitzas Hayom Kikulo, meaning we have a general concept that some of the day is considered like all the day, right? By Avelus, we know this to be so, right? In other words, by the seventh day of Avelus, right? You have the mitzvah de Rabbanan is to sit 7 days in Avelus. On day seven, not the entire day, just some of the day. That's the principle of Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. Where else do we have this principle of Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo? Right here by Azava. Rav Yossi is of the opinion that by Azava, the same principle, Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo, is going to operate. So that means that once she observes some of the day in a state of Tahara, so then that's considered like the entire day. Meaning, according to Rav Yossi, so that on day two, right, let's say she only had discharge for 1 day. On day two, she wakes up in the morning, she has just a couple of minutes of daytime where she was clean. It's like the whole day she was clean. She bleeds later that day, that's a new bleeding. That's a new state of tumah, not connected with the previous day. The Gemara later on is going to ask an obvious question. According to Rav Yossi, how does a woman ever become a Zava Gedola? Meaning every day is a new day, unconnected to the previous day. Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. So how does a woman ever become a Zava Gedola? Because a woman, to become a Zava Gedola, she needs 3 consecutive days of bleeding. But according to Rav Yossi, how do you do that? How do you string 3 days together if every day is considered a new day? Gemara later on is going to ask that question. That is it's an important question. We'll come back to discuss it. Well, that's what the Braisa says, and now what bothers the Gemara now is that we have a statement matter of Rav Yossi who says that no, it's going to take care of Ziva as well. To which the Gemara's response is, yeah, but you don't understand Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi, it's not because the tzitz takes care of it, it's because, according to Rav Yossi, Mitzas Hayom Kekulo, that once she woke up in the morning, she had a couple of minutes of clean, that's like the whole day. Right. Good. So, in other words, it's not because of the tzitz. It's because of this principle of Mitzas Hayom Kekulo. So the Gemara says, Lama Shem Kesav Rav Yossi Mekana Laba Metam V'Hat Tanya. The Gemara says, yeah, but what about the Braisa? Rav Yossi Amar Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyo Sheshach V'Zar Kol HaBishvir Shalo. Now we go to a man who's a Zav, and he's a Zav because he had 2 Re'iyos. Now remember we talked about in the introduction, a man having a Zav for 2 Re'iyos has to count 7 clean days. On the 7th day he'll tov in the mikvah. That night he'll be tahor. Similarly, by a woman who is a shomer yom keneged yom, hare elu matame mishkav moshav lemafreya uptur melasos pesach sheni. So their matame mishkav moshav lemafreya, retroactively their tame, and meanwhile they don't have to bring pesach sheni. Okay. What a head scratcher. Meaning, the Metamel Mafreya, that means that it goes back retroactively. That means that because he had bleeding on day 7, because she had bleeding on the next day, I said he had bleeding, whatever. In other words, he had a discharge. He had a discharge on day 7. Because she had bleeding on the next day, on the following day, so it's going to basically undo the count. So it sounds like over here, we don't say Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. And meanwhile, it also says that they're clear of having fulfilled the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. They don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. So it sounds like you put everything together. So how did it work? How did the Karban Pesach work? It sounds like the way it worked is because of this principle of tzitz, the tzitz being meratzah. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. No, you didn't understand. Yes, the tumah is retroactive, but not min haTorah. Min haTorah, they successfully concluded their counting. As long as he wakes up on the morning of the 7th, clean, he's good. Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. As long as she wakes up the next day clean, she's good. Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. So what is this business of Lim Afreya? That's a din de Rabbanan, that's a rabbinic law. The Av Rav Yoshia, Rav Oshia, Sever Metam Lim Afreya, Mid Rabbanan, Detani Rabbi Yoshia Omer. And the Gemara points out, I'll show you this to you another way. By Rav Oshia. Aval. Now, it's a funny way to start a sentence. Aval, but. Right? In other words, obviously, aval is a conjunction connecting to a previous statement. What was the previous statement? So Rashi admits, I don't know. Rashi says, I don't really understand what we're connecting it to. But in the meantime, however, aval, zav shara b'shvi shalo, so ser shalo fanav. The zav, who sees on day 7, again, we're talking about a man who had 2 continuous discharges, who has to count 7 clean days. He is now up to day 7. He saw he had a discharge on day 7. So it's Soser Shelafanov. It undoes everything previously. V'amalei Rav Yochanan lo yistar ela yom mo. Now Rav Yochanan makes a statement on Rav Oshi, and that is, not everything, only one day. To which the Gemara says, what? One day? That's nothing. That's limbo. So Mimanav Shachi Ketzav Lemafrehu Metame Afilu Kulu Nistar. Look, if the seventh day is just a continuation of the previous 6 days, and he had a discharge, and it upsets his count, it upsets the entire count. Meaning, we're back to zero. And he's got to start counting all over again. And he Ketzav Mikanu Labametame. And if Rav Oshia/Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav Yossi, mixas hayom kikulo, he wakes up on the morning of the 7th, he's good. Meaning he did not have a discharge, so he's good. So then yumanami lo nami lo lister. So why are you even upsetting one day? Meaning he finished his count. Now la'ema lo yister v'lo yomo. So the Gemara says, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to refine, redact Rav Yochanan's statement. Rav Yochanan actually means nothing. Meaning, it won't be soser at all. It won't upset the count. V'amalei Rav Yossi kai kavasech. And the response was, oh good. You know who also holds like that? Rav Yossi holds like that as well. V'ham Rav Yossi omer metame mishka v'moshel mafreya. What are you talking about? We just saw Rav Yossi say that he's tame retroactively. Elalav shema mina metame mafreya midirabon shema mina. So it must be, we were right. That when Rav Yossi says he's metame retroactively, it means only on a Darabanan level. On a Daraisa level, wakes up in the morning, doesn't have a re'i on day 7, that is counted as a whole day, based on the principle of mixas hayom kekulo, he's good. What about the fact that Rav Yossi says that if he discharges on day 7, it's metame retroactively? That is on a Darabanan level, not on a Daraisa level. Okay, so Ula Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, good. So now we have clarity on the position of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi holds mixas hayom kekulo. That means that for a Zav, who is on day 7, and he wakes up in the morning and he's clean, that's good, he's done. He's finished. Bleeding that happens after that, or I should say again, a discharge that happens after that, that's new. That's a new entity. And if a woman is a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, she bled during her 11 days, one of her 11 days. The next day, she wakes up in the morning, she sees that she's clean, she's good, based on the principle of mixas yom kekulo. Any bleeding she does after that, that's new. That's counted as new. So now, just one second. So the Gemara says, Ula Rav Yossi, Ashadamra Mikanu Labahu Metame. So according to Rav Yossi, all that's true. So now, let's go back to the beginning of today's daf, or where we started today. When the Braisa says that Tumas HaTohom only applies to mace and only mace, so what is it excluding? Because according to Rav Yossi, it's not excluding Zivas HaTohom, because according to Rav Yossi, it doesn't need to exclude Zivas HaTohom, because there's no such thing. A man waking up on day 7, he's clean. A woman waking up on her Shemesh Yom Keneged Yom, she's clean. Any subsequent bleeding or any subsequent discharge is a new discharge. So then what is the Braisa saying when it says, oh, this halach only applies to mace? So lema'ute mai nifsha mina debekoin v'huchalo tumas atahom. So the Gemara says, we're going to go back to where we started. And that is that the Braisa means that it must be speaking not about the owner of the carbon, but the Kohen doing the avoda of the karban. And like we wanted to suggest from the very beginning of today, that this halacha of tahom, of tumas tahom, is not just limited to the owner of the karban, but even for the Kohen doing the avoda as well. So amrei le'olam bebalam of a Pesach. So the Gemara says, you don't need to arrive at that conclusion. What we could say is, like we suggested a little bit earlier this morning, that no, it's only talking about the owner, not the Kohen. And it could very well be that the author of this Braisa is of the opinion that I don't shecht Karban Pesach for someone who's a Sheretz, even though tonight will be tahor. But if it's tahom sheretz, one could make the argument, oh, that's okay. If it's unknown sheretz, well, that's fine. And now I need the braisa. Now I understand the point of the braisa. No, tumas meis bilvad. No, this halacha of tumas atom is specific to meis, not to sheretz. Okay. Period. So far now, where are we in the Gemara? We are, as far as the original question of the day, unresolved. Meaning, we have a halach l'moshe misina of tumas atahom. Is this halach of tumas atahom specific to the owner of the karban? Or could it apply to the kohen as well? Answer, we don't know. Meaning, the Gemara doesn't resolve that question. Although, later on I'll show you that the halacha is that it applies even to the kohen as well. And then the other thing that we discussed is Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says his principle mixes a yom kekulo, so that means that on day 7 for the man, on the next day for the woman, of the shomer yom keneged yom, so they experience just a little bit of tahara. That's it. Mixes a yom kekulo, they're good for the rest of that day.
What's the line of demarcation for mixes a yom? Is it a
shachar? Is it a unclear. Meaning you just need a part of the day. So the definition of day.
In what time window?
It doesn't. We just mix us. Just some of it. The Gemara never speaks, not to my knowledge. The Gemara never speaks in terms of actual how much. Just a minority. Yes. Okay. Ela Rav Yossi zava Gemara hechi mishkach ala. So the Gemara now says, okay. Now according to Rav Yossi, mix it to yom kekulo. So then, how does a woman ever string three days together? Meaning, we know the Torah speaks about zava gedola. That, by definition, means that a woman had a discharge on three consecutive days. So good. So in other words, under normal circumstances, the way we would have understood that is, day one, she bled a little. Again, this is all during her 11 days. Day one, she bled a little. Day two, she bled a little. And day three, she bled a little. Good. But according to Rav Yossi, how does it ever come about? Because remember, according to Rav Yossi, she wakes up in the morning. As long as she experienced some cessation of bleeding, so anything after that, new bleeding. So how are you stringing together 3 days? So one answer you are probably already figured out, and the other answer a little fancier. But basically, the same point repeated. So answer number one of the Gemara is bishofa'as. So the Gemara's first answer is, according to Rav Yossi, it would come about when a woman has three consecutive days of bleeding without any cessation whatsoever. Okay, probably unhealthy. But again, I don't want to make any type of medical statements. That's not my field, not my department. But halachically speaking, it would come about where she has 3 days of unending bleeding. Or the second answer, which is basically the same point, just a little fancier, is that she experiences bleeding during the entire Ben Hashemashos period. 2 Ben Hashemashos in a row. So let's say, for example, Wednesday evening, she bled, meaning started bleeding on Wednesday into Wednesday evening over the course of the entire Ben Hashemashos period. So now that already covers 2 days. Then move ahead forward 24 hours. Now let's go to Thursday evening. Thursday, it's as it's now approaching evening, she bleeds into the Ben Hashemashos period. So now in that 2 consecutive Ben Hashemashos periods, she has 3 consecutive days. Now, why don't we say that, well, Wednesday, I'm sorry, yeah, no, Thursday, right? Thursday, right? She had a cessation of bleeding on Thursday. Doesn't that create a break? No. Mixaitzayom kekula only works if the beginning of the day was with a cessation of bleeding. But because Wednesday evening, she bled into the evening, so that already undoes her. She can't count Thursday now as mixed siyam kukulo, and that's how you can have 3 consecutive days of bleeding, even according to Rav Yossi.
But since Ben Hashemashos is a suffix concept, how could he add 2 suffixes?
It's only a suffix concept if the bleeding occurred during the Ben Hashemashos.
Okay.
The Gemara scenario is where she bled from before the Ben Hashemashos period started to through the Ben Hashemashos period. That's the end of that discussion. Two more points to cover on the Tahom discussion. Number one, by Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says like this. Let's assume, I know the Gemara asked the question, I know the Gemara didn't come up with a resolution. But let's assume, just to have this conversation, that this halach of Tumas Atom not only applies to the owner of the Karban Pesach, but to the Kohen who does the Avodah as well. Again, even though the Gemara just spent an Amud trying to resolve that issue. But let's assume it does apply to the Kohen. Good. So now, with that assumption, so Rav Yosef says, I wonder, would this halach apply to other Karbanos as well? So for example, Kohen Amaratze B'Tamid. Let's say the Kohen is doing the Avodah with a Karban Tamid. Right? Regular Karban Tamid, daily Karban. Karban Sibor, it's a communal Karban. And now, after having done the Avodah, he then finds out he was Tamei. How was he Tamei? He walked over a grave that nobody knew about. And then, of course, only later was discovered. So does this halach of Tumas Atahom, is it going to be good for a Kohen doing the Karban Tamid? So now, Huchelo Tumas Atahom, Olo. Imsim Salam Kohen Amratza B'Karban Aseyem, Huchelo Tumas Atahom, Kohen Amratza B'Tamid Mai. And the Gemara just simply telegraphs the punch, meaning, we're assuming that the Kohen who does the Avodah for the Karban Pesach and for the Nazir, it works. Meaning the halach of Tumas Atahom extends to him. Does it also extend to the Karban Tamid? Mi amrina ki gamir tumas atom bepesach betamid lo gamir oduma yalef tamid mi pesach. So do we say that we do have a halach lamoshe misinai? Can it extend from Karban Pesach to Karban Tamid, or does it not? And now we get to the part of today's daf where I mentioned the very beginning. This is now the Gemara going to have the discussion of when it comes to halach lamoshe misinai, halacha that's not kasuv betorah, it's not in the Torah. It comes to us strictly as Masorah, as a tradition. So can we then extend the halacha? And as you're going to see in just a moment, the answer is going to be a very clear and effective no. We cannot. So Amar Rabbah, but before we get to the punchline though, the Gemara discusses just a little bit. Amar Rabbah Kavachamah. So Rabbah says, I think it works. Let's think about this logically. Let's take the Karban Pesach. You're not allowed to bring Karban Pesach in the state of Tumah. Now, again, we all, of course, know. If the entire community is Tamei, then yes. But we're not talking about the whole community. If one individual is Tamei, and he knows he's Tamei, can he bring the Karban Pesach? No, he can't. You get deferred. And meanwhile, there is a dispensation of Tumas Atahom. Good. That's a starting point. Now, Rabbi says, let's extend this logically. Shalom huchul atumas yiduah, huchul atumas atum. Makam shahuchul atumah yiduah. So now we go to the Karban Tamid. Can you bring the Karban Tamid in a state of tumah? Yeah, sure. Right, I mean, yes, under certain circumstances you can. So if I'm allowed to bring the Karban Tamid in a state of tumah, ain't no din shahuchul atumas atahom? So then for sure we should allow tumas atahom. We're there, he didn't even know he was tumah. So that's the kavachom of Rabbah. Amre, umi danin, kavachom of mealacha. So he says, look, the logic may be great. I don't even want to argue with you on the logical basis. But you don't do logic on halacha Moshe Misinai. Umi danin, kavachom of mealacha, vatanya amala Rabbi Eliezer. This discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is regarding the Nazir. We know that a Nazir comes into contact with a dead body, so that's it. Nazirus is over, not over, but in other words, discounted. He's got to count all over again. After bringing the Karbanos, he's got to count all over again. Good. What if the Nazir doesn't touch an actual human remains, but let's say blood? Okay, blood of human remains. So is he's also going to become Tamei as well? So it's unclear.
Is it a
Revi? Yeah, it's a Revi Zadam. So Amalo Rabbi Lazar Akiva, Etzim Kesar Alacha Revi, I'm sorry. So, now, it's unclear. The Torah doesn't say. Now, what we do know is that if a Nazir touches bone chips, so he's got to undoes his Nazirus. But that is Halach Lamoshe Misinai. What Rabbi Akiva was trying to do is he was trying to extend. Well, if a Nazir touches bone chips and he's got to start his Nazirus all over again, so if he touches Revi'ez Dam, for sure he's got to start all over again. That was Rabbi Akiva's argument. Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Akiva, what are you doing? That halacha of bone chips, that's halacha Moshe Misinai. Stop. You can't extend the halacha from there. Right, let's see this inside. Amalo Rabbi Eliezer Akiva. Etzim kisora halacha. Revi is dam kavachomer. Ve'ein dan kavachomer me'alacha. You can't do that. We don't have the right to extend a halacha from halacha Moshe Misinai. Okay? So now that we're here, to our question, does Tumas Tatahom apply to a Kohen regarding the Karban Tamid? Logically, it may be deduced, but so what? No kavachomer by Allah Moshe Mitzinai. Elam Rava Yalef Ma'adam Ma'adam Pesach. So Rava says, okay, we're not going to derive it through a kavachomer. We'll do it through Gzeir Shava. Good. Period. Now, by the way, that's an interesting conclusion. What did the Gemara just essentially say? That you can't do kavachomer for Halach Moshe Mitzinai, oh, but Gzeir Shava is fine, right? That is a funny conclusion. What's the difference between a kavachomer and Gzeir Shava? Aren't they both Yigimel Midos? Meaning, don't they both represent methodology? And if I can't use one methodology, why can I use another?
Anytime you use logic, you're more up in the air and you're more
right
to be challenged.
Right. So it's clear. I mean, I'm not saying anything innovative in the Gemara, and maybe I am, but I don't think so. In other words, it's clear that there's a very fine distinction between Gzeir Shava and a Kavachomer. Gzeir Shava is as if it's actually stated in the Torah. Meaning, even though to connect words in the Torah, I mean, like you said, which is right, what the Gemara says again and again, you need a Masorah, you need a tradition to connect words. But once those words are connected, it's almost like an open portal between those two parshios. We already know, I mean, we saw this earlier, the Moado connection between the Karban Pesach and the Karban Tamid. So once it's there, once that Gzeir Shava is there, it's as if, okay, fine. Whatever's true by Karban Pesach is true by the Karban Tamid as well. If Tahom works by Karban Pesach, well, of course it's going to work by Tamid. So it's not, meaning it is methodology, it is Yud Gimel Midos, but it's almost like once the portal's open, yeah, that's it. We see a free flow of information from one to the other. Okay. And last part of Tumas Tahom. We're almost done? Almost. Tumas Tahom Gufa Hechiksiva. Where is this in the Torah? Where's Tumas Tahom mentioned in the Torah? So, now, do we all know the answer already? Yeah, we do. Meaning, it's not. It's Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So, by definition, if it's Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, it's not going to be in the Torah. But the Gemara will take a couple of lines in Daf Yomi terminology, a couple of minutes, just to get to that point. But okay, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chi, Yamos Meis Alav. If somebody dies upon him, now literally, of course, it does not mean that the dead person's literally on him, but it means that he's aware of it. But Machaver is Alav, so that means that he has awareness. Ashkecha Nazir Ose Pesach Minal. Now that pasuk is by Nazirus. How do we know this Tumas Tahom by Karban Pesach? Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Derech Rechoka Lachem. It was far away from you. Meaning, this is talking about somebody who was far away from the Beis Hamikdash. B'machaveres Lachem. Where it's clear to you. Now, right, this derivation is a little bit of a stretch. This pasuk is not talking about somebody who's dead. It's talking about somebody who's far away from Yerushalayim. What the Gemara's assumption is that that's also, excuse me, this also would be true, not only for Derech Rechoka, it would also be somebody for Tumas Meis as well. Rishim HaMelakish Amar, Kiderech, just like a Derech. Maderech Begaloi, Aftoma Nami Begaloi. You have a pathway, it's evident, meaning it's clear that that's a pathway. Same thing is true regarding Tumas Meis. It has to be clear. You have to know about it. Meis Vedek Gemara challenges all this based on the Halacha, which is, Ezu Tumas Tahom. What's an example of Tumas Tahom? It means nobody knew about it. Meaning, it wasn't just you didn't know about the Tumas Meis. Nobody knew about it. If just one person knew about it, that's not Tumas Tahom. Now, Lirav Elazar Dama Mechaver Salav Adi Adahu. Lirav Yochanan Dama Lachem Mechaver Salachem Adi Adi Batrain. Lirav Shlakish Da Amar Kiderech Adi Adi Kule Amam. So the Gemara says, yeah, think of all those drushes that we just quoted. You didn't know, but others knew. Lachem, the two of you didn't know, but others knew. What do you mean? We just established that the Tumas Tahom Halacha applies only when nobody knows. El Tumas Tahom Halacha Gemirla, Ukra Asmachta Ma'ama, punchline. It's a Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. And what about the Pesukim that we just quote? Asmachta, meaning it's just a way of connecting the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai to the Torah, a mechanism that we see time and again throughout Shas. But in other words, but the reality is that it is just a Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Amar Mab Rav Ashloshan Olashan Noda Lo Lacha Zrika. Dechi Izdarek Dam Shapir. Izdarek. Ava Noda Lo Lifnei Zrika Lo Meratze. And now, right, and a critical point of the whole discussion. Meaning, let's go over this again. Tumas Tatahom. It means you didn't know about the Tumah. Now, if you never find out about it, there's really nothing to talk about. There's no, what discussion are we going to have? You know, I may have come into contact with Tumah, but I never knew about it. Okay. Good. Well, so, right, I could just imagine the rabbi, the Kohen sitting there and saying, okay, and what's your question? You didn't know about it? Fine. Nobody knew about it? Fine. Obviously, it means that nobody knew about it, but then it was discovered. And then someone comes running into the Beis HaMikdash, hey, you know, that house that you were in, we just found out that there was Tumah there. So when exactly was the point of discovery? So, to that, we have a statement of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, this halacha of Tumas Tatahom works and only works if he discovers it after the Zrika. But if he finds out about it before the Zrika, no good. No good. Meis Vedek Amar challenges this halacha of Rav Ashi based on a brisa. Motzi meis mushkav l'rech v'oshal derech l'truma tamei l'nazir v'oseh pesach tahor. Let's say there's a dead body lying lengthwise, or I should say rather, right, crosswise against the road. So that as you're walking down the road, it's obvious that you stepped over the mace. So vis-a-vis truma, you're going to be tamei. Vis-a-vis carbon pesach, you're good. What? What does that mean? How could you be good? You're tamei. And it's, in other words, only going forward are you going to be tummy. What it obviously means is that you stepped over it, nobody knew it was there, and then it was discovered only later. Even if the point of discovery is before Zrika, it's still going to be okay. So in other words, so again, just from the simple pshat in the Gemara, Tumas Tatahom means you stepped over Tumah. Or again, you came into, so you halachically somehow came into contact with Tumah. Nobody knew it was there, and then it was discovered. The simple pshat of the Gemara is, that's Tumas Tatahom, you're good. I can even go into the Beis HaMikdash and say, you know, I know this is going to sound funny, but listen carefully. I'm Tamei, and I came into contact with a mace, but I'm ready for the Karm Pesach. What are you talking about? How can you be ready for the Karm Pesach? Answer, because when I came into contact with a mace, it was Tumas Tatahom. So now I'm ready to go. That's a simple pshat of the Gemara. Oh, the Gemara says it works even before Zrika. Now, to be fair, Rashi writes over here, I promised you I would show you this Rashi, beginning of today. Rashi writes over here, Ein lo makom lavor, if you look in that Rashi is like about two-thirds down on the Amud. Rashi writes, Afa gav de tumas vada hi kevende hi shaita de avra ala tumas atom, havi shalo haya shum adam yodasham, va'af lazeh lo noda. So Rashi says, at the time when you passed over the mace, nobody knew about its existence. Achenishkatu karbonosav. Critical words of Rashi. Rashi says, and when did you find out about it? After the shchita. So then the halacha Moshe Mitzina, Yishtazorkin alavis adamim. So you'll have to sprinkle the blood. So even though the Gemara says, even before Zrika, it's fine. But from Rashi, it's clear, yes, before Zrika, but no, not before shchita. Meaning the point of discovery has to be after shchita. And I think I know why Rashi does that. Because it's really hard to imagine that you walked over a body. Nobody knew about it. And then someone discovered it and informs you and says, hey, you know you walked over a body. I know, right? You know you were there. You just didn't know the body was there. Now I'm telling you the body was there. And now you could bring carbon Pesach? That's very funny. I mean, it's strange. So what Rashi does is he really reduces the amount of Chiddush. This is all going to be true once the Karban Pesach was set into motion. Once you shecht the Karban Pesach. But if before you shecht the Karban Pesach, it sounds very clear from Rashi, no, you can't do it. So in other words, this Tahomas HaTahom dispensation only is if you start the process before you discover. Okay. Back to the Gemara, Gufa. Last thing we're going to be discussing this morning is this last statement we just made. The dead body was found lengthwise across the road. For truma, you're tummy. For karban pesach, you're good. And again, what's the difference? We know the difference. Tumas atahom. Now, that's only if the body covers the entire length of the road. But if there's an area where you could have squeezed by and not come into contact with the mace, even for truma you're good. Why? Because it's a suffix. And we know, generally speaking, the rule is suffix tuma birshus harabim is going to be tower. I'm just quoting Rashi. That's if the body was found whole. And also, if the body, let's say, was not found whole, but Rachman al-Aslan, the body was like in pieces, meaning it was this, you know, head here, a limb here. So in other words, as you're walking through, it's possible that you didn't actually step over the body. So again, you're going to be tahor. And again, for the same rule of safek tuma versus rabim. But what if the body was found in a coffin? Even if the body was in pieces, the kever is mitzari. The kever basically unifies the entire body. And this is only if you're walking on your feet. But if you're carrying a huge load, so in other words, you are a wide load passing through over that road, or you're being carried, so in other words, you're in a box, so at that point in time, we're going to assume that either you or the load that you were carrying is going to go over the body. So, once you're a wide load, the chances are you went over the mace. And all this is only true by tumas at home, but if it's tumah you do it, but if it's known tumah, you're going to be tumah. Ve'ezi tumas at home, kosh lo hikar ba'echa b'sof ha'olam. And here we go, great quote that we already saw before, definition of tumas at home, nobody knew about it. Aval hikar ba'echa b'sof ha'olam means that tumas at home. Matzu tumam b'tevan ba'afar b'tzoros, that is it tumas at home. Let's say the body was in buried in dirt, in pebbles. In other words, no one saw it there, that's tumas at home. B'mayim? Let's say the body was underwater, but clear water, where all you need to do is look down and see it. That's not tumas atahom. B'mayim, be'afela b'nikike hasalayim, right, crevices of rocks. But in other words, you just look down, you can see it. Ain't it tumas atahom? That's not tumas atahom. V'lo amru tumas atahom, elo lemeis bavad. Tumas atahom is only specific to tumas meis, not to any other type of tumah. What other type of tumah are we excluding? So, go back to the beginning of today's daf. Maybe Sheretz, maybe Ziva. Go back to the beginning of today's daf. Okay, let's do a little bit more for today. Get to catch up a little bit in the Gemara. Nin meshalem a Reuben sorfenas olif ne'abira. Let's say carbon pesach becomes tummy. Either all of it or most of it. You got to go back to the base of Mikdash and burn in the base of Mikdash. Me'afse amaracha using the wood of the maracha. If only some of the carbon pesach becomes tameh, or it's leftover, so you don't have to go back to the base of Mikdash, you can burn it right where you are, in your chutz or in your courtyard. Obviously, when you're in Yerushalayim. May I say, Atzman, using your own wood. But what if you're like really cheap? So, sorfenoso lifnei habira. So now, right, so if you're cheap, you go back to the base of Mikdash. Why?
They have fire.
Right, they have fire, they have wood. So you get to save on the wood. So my time, I'm Rav Yosef Rav Chena Kedei Levayshan. Very interesting halacha. All right, the rabbi here just spoke about this over Rosh Hashanah, right? Embarrassment, meaning. But over here, and right? Usually, the Gemara, the halacha is super sensitive to not embarrassing people. Here, just the opposite. In other words, somebody allowed either their entire carbon pesach or most of the carbon pesach to become tamei. That's a gross act of negligence. Well, I mean, now, granted, it could have been an accident. Understood. But what did you? What are you doing? You're letting your whole carbon pesach become tameh? You know what? You go stand in the front of the classroom, or in this. I know. I'm a teacher by trade. Right. You. not my methodology. You go to the base of Mikdash. You stand there in the base of Mikdash, and you show everybody, hey, you were metameh your carbon pesach. So, Kedei Levayshan, right? And okay. next time, be more careful. Nidma miyuta v'reminu v'chem ishiyatsu mishlaim v'nitzka sheish b'yadar basakar ashim avar tzofen sarfa b'mkom avim lav chozer v'sarfa lifnei habira me'atze maracha. And then the Gemara says, hold on one second. We learned a Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. And the Mishnah says that if you have a little bit of carbon with you, so you don't have to go back. And meanwhile, what do we learn in our Mishnah? Is that if you have a little bit of carbon, so you burn it in your chatzer. So, Amar Rav Chama Bar Okva Lokasha Kam Be'achsanai Kam Be'Balabais. So the Gemara says, depends if you're traveling or if you're a Balabais. So in other words, if you're an Achsanai, if you're traveling, you're not going to have your own wood. So we're going to go up to that Mishnah that we quoted earlier. You go back to the Beis HaMikdash and you burn the Beis HaMikdash. But if you are a resident of Yerushalayim, you're going to have your own wood. You can burn it in your chatzer. Okay, that's distinction number one. Rav Papa Amar Havah Achsanai Kam Shehichzik Bederech Kam Shelo Hichzik Bederech. Depends. If you're really set out on the way, you could burn it where you are. If you're not set out on the way, you go back to Yerushalayim and burn Yerushalayim. Razvid Amar Lo'olam Kedamar Mikar. Razvid says, no, I'm going to go back to that first answer. That first answer sounds right to me. Kam Achsanai Kam Be'Balabais V'Af Agav De'Lo Hichzik Bederech Achsanai Kevin De'Leis Le'Asu Kitzaykanim De'Nan Atzaykanim Sof Nasalif Ne'Abira. Meaning, if you're just traveling through Yerushalayim, so, it's not that you're cheap, but it's like you're cheap. Meaning, you don't have your own wood. So you go back to the Beis HaMikdash, and you burn the Beis HaMikdash. Bishvul Lahanos Me'atzei Amaracha. Okay, that's all, period. Tana Rabbanan, just one more point of this. Ba'al Lestarfa Bechatzorasei Me'atzei Amaracha Ein Shomen Lahem. Ein Shomen Lahem. Let's say they want to burn in their courtyard using the Atzei HaMaracha, the wood of the Beis HaMikdash. No.
There's no
meal there. Exactly. Right, that's why no. Lifnei Abir Me'atzei Atzman. Now, if you want to go to the Beis HaMikdash, you can use using your own wood. Ein Shom Alehem, that's also a no. Now, the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. I understand half of it. Bishlam Me'atzei HaMaracha Bechatzos Ein Shom Alehem Doma Paishan Minai Vasebuli Deita Kala. Taking Beis HaMikdash wood and bring it back to your courtyard, no way. Because for the part of it that you use to burn your tummy carbon, that's fine. But you have any leftover wood and you use it for your own personal gain, that's called me'ila. So that part I get. But why not use your own wood in the Beis HaMikdash? What's the problem with that? So Rav Yosef Amar Shalo Levayish Es Misha Ein Lo. So the Gemara says one reason is because you don't want to embarrass people who don't have wood. Right, yeah, I know. It's what an unbelievable contrast. Oh, yeah. Correct. In other words, for the person who allowed his carbon to become tamei, we'll teach you a lesson. But here, to bring their wood to the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to embarrass people who don't have wood. Rava Amar Mimnei Chashad, and Rava says, well, we're worried about Chashad. Chashad over here, in this context, means the people are going to be thinking that... You took it from the Beis HaMikdash, you brought it back. So, okay, fine. So, my Beinah, you can Beinah, the I see kind of Vichivata Dalochaz Lamaracha. Now, the practical halachic difference would be, let's say you're using wood that's clearly not Beis HaMikdash wood. Right, we learned back in Tumid, they had very specific wood, cut, by the way, in a very specific shape. So, in other words, if you have wood that's clearly not Beis HaMikdash wood, so as far as people thinking that you're using Atzei Maracha, no one's going to think that. As far as embarrassing people who don't have, yeah, that's going to be an issue. So that would be the practical difference. Okay, Adkan, I know, we'll get to the Mishnah, but tomorrow, it's another Mishnah that we're going to quote. Okay, tomorrow we'll finish up. And also with a short daf tomorrow, hopefully we'll catch up even more. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here.